Welcome to the combined annual general meeting of the shareholders of Growthpoint Properties Australia Limited and the meeting of the unit holders of Growthpoint Properties Australia Trust, which are being held virtually this year. I am your chairman, Geoff Tomlinson. We have a quorum for these meetings, and I'm pleased to declare the meetings officially open. On behalf of Growthpoint, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to the elders past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. I would like to start by outlining some of the procedural matters of this meeting, given that we are hosting this online, which is new for us and maybe for many of you as well. The board and I enjoy having the opportunity to meet with security holders in person at our annual general meeting and are disappointed that we cannot do so this year due to the current government restrictions in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and our commitments to prioritizing the health and well-being of security holders, employees, and the broader community. However, we have ensured that, as far as possible, security holders will have the same opportunities to participate in today's meeting as they would in a face-to-face meeting. As outlined in the notice of meeting, security holders can ask questions of the board during the meeting via the Lumi AGM online platform and vote in real time. The online platform is now open for security holders' questions. We understand that there can be a delay between security holders submitting their question and our receipt of the question, so please submit your questions as early as possible in the meeting. Please note that while you can submit questions from now on, I will not address them until a relevant time in the meeting. Questions submitted on the online platform may be moderated to avoid repetition of similar questions or summarized in the interest of time. We will endeavor to address as many of the more frequently raised questions as possible during the course of the meeting. However, there may not be sufficient time available to address all the questions submitted, so I encourage you to submit your questions early in the meeting. To ask a question, press on the speech bubble icon. This will open a new screen. At the bottom of that screen, there is a section for you to type your question. Once you have finished typing, please hit the arrow symbol to send. Instructions on how to submit a question are also outlined in the virtual meeting guide on our website. In order to provide everyone with an opportunity to vote, and in case anyone cannot stay for the whole meeting, I will now formally open the poll on all resolutions. All polls remain open until the conclusion of today's meeting. If you are eligible to vote at this meeting, a new polling icon will have appeared on your screen. Selecting this icon will bring up a list of resolutions and present you with voting options. To cast your vote, simply select one of the options. There is no need to hit a submit or enter button as the vote is automatically recorded. If you do have any technical issues during the meeting, please call the number on this slide. A webcast of the meeting and all presentations will be available on our website shortly after the meeting. The notice of meeting was made available to all security holders, and I propose to take it as read. I will now introduce our directors. In attendance virtually today, directors Maxine Brenner, Estienne de Klerk, Grant Jackson, Francois Marais, Norbert Sasse, and Josephine Sukkar, and our Managing Director, Tim Collyer. Also in attendance is Jackie Jovanovski, our Company Secretary and Chief Operating Officer, Dion Andrews, our Chief Financial Officer, Michael Green, our Chief Investment Officer, and David Shearing, a representative of our auditors, Ernst & Young. On behalf of the board, I would like to acknowledge Maxine Brenner, who is retiring from the board at the end of November. Maxine joined the board more than 8 years ago and has played a vital role in Growthpoint's significant growth over this period. I would like to thank Maxine for her significant contribution, particularly for her work as Chair of the Audit, Risk and Compliance Committee, and wish her all the best for her future endeavours. A recruitment process to find a suitable replacement for Maxine is well underway, and several promising candidates have been identified. We are looking for an individual with a strong financial background, who has had either a senior position at a large accounting firm or an ASX listed company or both. Maintaining the board's gender diversity and balance of independent directors is also a focus. Turning to the agenda for today, we will commence with my address, which will be followed by a presentation by Tim Collier, which will provide an overview of the business, including its recent performance and outlook. We'll then move to a consideration of the combined financial report for the company and the trust for financial year 20. I will then explain the voting procedures and address each of the remaining items of business set out in the notice of meeting. As noted earlier in the meeting, questions can be submitted at any time. If you have a question already prepared, please submit it now on the online platform so that I can answer as many questions as possible when I come to the relevant agenda item. If your question relates to a particular item of business, please refer to that item of business when you submit your question. I would like to start my presentation by providing a brief overview of Growthpoint today. Growthpoint is the 10th largest REIT in Australia and a member of the S&P/ASX 200 index. We own and manage 57 properties valued at approximately $4.2 billion Australian. Approximately one third of the assets are industrial properties, the other two thirds are offices. Our offices are located predominantly on the fringe of CBDs or in metropolitan locations. The resilient nature of our business model and assets was highlighted this year when the group's operating environment changed dramatically due to the COVID-19 virus. I'm pleased with the way the group has responded to the challenges presented by the pandemic. Our priority throughout this period has been to protecting the safety and well-being of our team, tenants and the broader community. We have implemented all government recommended steps to stop the spread of the virus. In March, we made a commitment to the Growthpoint team that we would support everyone through this challenging time, with no reductions to fixed salaries or working hours. We've stayed in close contact with our tenants throughout this period. We reached out to a number of small tenants, such as operators or cafes in our office buildings, who we knew would be significantly impacted by the virus and offered a rent-free period at the beginning of April. This was above and beyond what was required by the government's code of conduct. We are proud that we were able to help our small tenants when it mattered most, and we are continuing to provide assistance for these tenants, principally in Victoria. We also received rent relief requests from a number of our larger tenants, which we have reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have granted approximately $3.4 million in rent relief, $1.3 million of rent abatement, and $2.1 million of rental deferment. We also implemented a number of corporate measures to protect long-term value of the group. This included delaying all non-essential capital projects and operating expenses, and implementing a group-wide hiring freeze. We entered this period with a robust balance sheet after a concerted effort to significantly delever over the past 6 years. Our gearing is currently below the bottom of our target range, which we believe is prudent in the current operating environment. We've had a strong support from our banking partners throughout this period. We entered into our new $100 million facility with a new banking partner in May on favourable terms, and we have extended and repriced $550 million of debt since that time. We remain well within our debt covenants and have no debt maturing until financial year 23. We are committed to ensuring our business operates in a sustainable way. Across our portfolio, we are looking for opportunities to operate in a more efficient way to reduce our environmental footprint. Key achievements this year include installing two solar panel systems, taking the total number of installations across our portfolio to six. We also made a commitment to begin purchasing accredited renewable power for a number of key sites. We are pleased that our efforts and high green credentials were recognised by neighbours this year, who ranked our property portfolio as a top 10 most energy efficient portfolio in Australia. We are committed to providing our tenants with high quality accommodation that meets their needs now and into the future. This not only assists us to maintain good tenant relationship, but also to create ongoing value for our security holders as tenants are more likely to agree to long leases. This year, we invested approximately $3 million to upgrade tenant amenities, including end-of-trip facilities and designated community areas. Ensuring Growthpoint is a great place to work remains a focus for the board and management team, and we are pleased to see a significant improvement in both our employee engagement and alignment scores this year, putting Growthpoint in the top quartile of its benchmark group. This year, we introduced a new working from home policy and significantly increased our paid parental leave entitlements. We hope that together these initiatives will help our team strike the right balance between their personal and professional lives. I'm also pleased to announce that we have increased our board gender diversity target to 30% of each gender by the 30th of June 2023. Achievement of this will be considered as part of our overall board succession planning. On behalf of the board, I'd like to thank Growthpoint's executive team and all employees for their hard work and dedication to Growthpoint. The last 8 months have been particularly challenging, and we are proud of how the group has navigated this period. I will now hand over to our managing, Tim Collier, who will provide a more detailed update on the business.
Thank you, Jeff, and good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to echo Jeff's sentiments around our disappointment that we cannot be meeting with you face-to-face as we normally would. I hope that next year we will be able to do so. Today, I'll provide an overview of our business, including a snapshot of the financial year 20 financial results, our recently completed development projects, and outlook for the year ahead. In financial year 20, the group delivered a strong performance in a challenging year. In March, we withdrew all forward-looking statements due to the uncertainty created by the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm pleased to report that we ended up delivering funds from operation growth ahead of this guidance and 2% higher than the prior year. The value of our portfolio increased over financial year 20, driven primarily by the significant leasing success we had in the first half. This included signing our longest lease agreement to date, 25 years, with our single largest tenant, the New South Wales Police Force, for their Parramatta headquarters. During financial year 20, we made good progress with our debt book, taking advantage of the low interest rate environment to refinance $400 million of debt and reduce our weighted average interest rate by 50 basis points. Last week, we also extended $315 million of debt with three of the major Australian banks. This debt was due to mature in December 2021, and this has been extended out to December 2023. Growthpoint enjoys a strong relationship with our financiers, and this has really come to the fore during this COVID-19 period. While our earnings were not materially impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, we decided to reduce our distribution payout ratio to retain a higher level of cash within the group than normal. This was a prudent approach during an uncertain period. Our strong performance during this challenging period reflects the resilient nature of our portfolio as a result of our deliberate portfolio construction over the last decade or so. As Jeff mentioned, our exposure is limited to the office and industrial property sectors. Within the office and industrial property sectors, we have invested in well-located, high-quality, modern properties. We have carefully selected our tenants, favouring large, well-capitalised companies and federal and state governments. On this slide, we have highlighted our top 10 tenants who make up approximately 48% of our gross income. I'm sure you'll recognise many of these names, such as Woolworths, Lin Fox, Bunnings and ANZ, to name a few. We have also focused on maintaining a high occupancy, which is currently at 96%, and having a long-weighted average lease expiry, which is 6.4 years. During financial year 20, two development projects reached practical completion, both ahead of time and on budget. In February, development of Botanica 3, a new A-grade office building in Richmond, around 5 kilometres from the Melbourne CBD, was completed. We were very pleased to announce at the beginning of October that Bunnings has signed a lease of 10 years and 7 months for 71% of this development, reinforcing our view that this is one of the best, highest quality metropolitan offices in Australia. In June, practical completion of the 25,000 square metre expansion of our Woolworths Grocery Regional Distribution Centre in Jeff's Cross, South Australia, was reached. Woolworths now have a 15-year lease over the expanded property of 91,700 square metres of lettable area. Looking ahead, I want to provide our thoughts on a topic that is garnering a lot of attention at the moment. What will be the future of the office? There has been a lot of commentary since the outbreak of COVID-19 about whether the almost overnight transition to everyone working remotely will lead to a severe contraction in demand for office space. While initially many people enjoyed working from home, there has been increasing recognition of the challenges. It has been difficult to stay connected with colleagues whilst working from home. It's also harder to develop company culture, innovate and collaborate collectively, mentor and develop junior team members when all interaction is done over a scheduled video call. We expect that in the future, there will likely be increased workplace flexibility than before the pandemic, but very few organisations will see working from home exclusively as optimal for their business. In the short term, we think it is more likely that downward pressure on office demand will come from the challenging economic environment some companies are facing. Our office portfolio is well insulated against this due to our long weighted average lease expiry of 7.1 years, high occupancy and strong tenant base. Longer term, we believe metropolitan offices could benefit from some of the structural shifts which are accelerating due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Approximately 89% of Growthpoint's office properties are located in non-CBD metropolitan hubs. It is possible that more organisations will choose to adopt a hub-and-spoke office model, where they have an office in a CBD location and an additional office or offices in a metropolitan location. The primary benefit of this model is rental cost savings. By having a secondary office, organisations can reduce the amount of space required for their office in the relatively expensive CBD. Having an office close to where people live can reduce lengthy commutes and time spent on public transport. Many characteristics of metropolitan offices, as compared with their CBD counterparts, also makes them attractive in a post-pandemic world, such as large floor plates to assist with social distancing, less levels within a building leading to shorter lift wait times, and higher car parking ratios. To the outlook, there still exists a great deal of uncertainty about the year ahead. While Australia is very well placed, with the spread of the virus now seemingly under control, we will not start to get a true understanding of the impact of the pandemic on business and individuals until well into 2021, or until a vaccine is approved and widely distributed. There appears to be significant cause for optimism regarding the availability of a vaccine in 2021. Certainly, the Australian economy will benefit greatly from the unprecedented fiscal support and stimulus measures of the federal government. Whilst the RBA has dropped the cash rate to an historic low of 0.1%, is lowering long-term interest rates with its bond purchasing program, and has provided substantial liquidity to the banking sector. Globally, we see many countries struggling to contain the spread of the virus and having to reintroduce lockdown measures with devastating social and economic impacts. As a result of this uncertainty, we have not provided funds from operations guidance for financial year 21. However, we understand the value our security holders place on receiving distributions, particularly when many ASX-listed companies have stopped, deferred, or significantly reduced dividends. So we have provided distribution guidance of 20 cents per security, which we expect will be paid in equal half-year instalments in financial year 21. At current pricing, this represents a distribution yield of approximately 5.4%, an attractive yield when compared to bank deposit rates and the 10-year bond rate. As I've highlighted today, the fundamentals of our business remain strong, with a long-weighted average lease expiry, high-quality tenants, and manageable near-term lease expiries. We also have a strong balance sheet, significant liquidity, and ongoing access to providers of capital. I am confident that we are well positioned to continue to deliver value to Growthpoint security holders over the long term. I will now hand you back to Jeff, and thank you for your attendance today and support of Growthpoint Properties Australia.
Thanks, Tim. We would now be happy to answer any questions you may have about the business. Security holders and their appointed attorneys, proxies and corporate representatives are permitted to ask questions. If you have a question, please submit it now on the Lumi platform. Questions will be read out to me in the first instance, and I may direct them to the relevant person to answer as appropriate.
Chairman, we have received the following question from the Australian Shareholders Association, from John Whittington. Mr. Chairman, retail shareholders are concerned that too many director appointments fall into jobs for mates category, and we believe the only way to address this is by transparency about the recruitment process. We would therefore ask you to outline in more detail than you covered in your address the process for finding Ms. Brenner's successor.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. We are well into the process of finding a replacement for Maxine. The responsibility for the exercise rests with the basically the committee, the remuneration committee. And basically at the moment, we have interviewed a number of people. We've reduced that number down to two, and we are in the final selection process. So this is not a process about selecting friends and acquaintances. It's about finding people with appropriate skills to replace Maxine. So we're looking for a person who has had a period of time in a financial department of a ASX listed 200 company, or alternatively being a senior person in one of the large accounting firms, because the person we recruit will become a director of the company, and we also anticipate that person will become chairman of our Audit, Risk and Compliance Committee. So it's a very disciplined process, and I'm at this stage we have some outstanding candidates, which is still subject to reference checking and some more interviews, but I would be hopeful that we can complete this process and make an announcement before Christmas. I stress the words, I am hopeful. I'm not making any commitment at this stage, but that's my intention.
Chairman, we have received no further questions.
I will now move on to the official items of business of the combined meetings. The first official item of business is to receive and consider the financial reports and the reports of the directors and auditors in respect to Growthpoint Properties Australia for the financial year ended 30 June 2020. A combined annual report for the company and the trust was mailed to those security holders who elected to receive it and is also available on the websites of the ASX and the group. In addition to the board and management, the company's current auditors, Ernst & Young, are in attendance to answer any questions security holders may have in relation to the audit, the auditor's report, the accounting policies adopted, and the independence of the auditor. Would anyone like to ask any questions or make comments about this item of business?
Chairman, we have received the following question from John Whittington from the Australian Shareholders Association. Mr. Chairman, I think a lot of people find it curious that following the impact of the COVID pandemic, the valuation of Growthpoint's office portfolio actually increased by 4.5% in the year. How can the value of the office portfolio increase when it looks like work from home directions will be around for a while, and when there seems to be social acceptance that there will be increased working from home post the pandemic?
I'll ask our Managing Director to answer that question.
Thank you for that question. Over the year, we had considerable success in extending leases within our portfolio. During the year, we leased about 19% of the income within the portfolio, and the weighted average lease expiry was extended from 5 years to 6.4. And subsequent to that, we have further extended that with the leasing of Bunnings. So the value of the properties really is a reflection of what's happening in the market. And as we know, bond rates and interest rates are going down, but also the solid income from the portfolio, which we have extended. And the primary reason for the increase in the valuations is the extension of the leases from government and other tenants. In regard to working from home, that is a longer term trend to play out. We are still obviously receiving 100% income from all our tenants for a long period of time. A lot of the larger tenants have told us that they are moving firstly through the pandemic, and then subsequent to that, they will determine their longer term accommodation strategy.
Thanks, Tim. I'll move on. There are six remaining items of business on today's agenda set out in the notice of meeting, which require a vote. The proposed resolutions comprising agenda items 2 and 3 in the notice of meeting relate to the company only, and the proposed resolution comprising agenda items 4 to 7 relate to both the company and the trust. All of the proposed resolutions relating to agenda items 2 to 7 inclusive are ordinary resolutions which require a majority of votes cast in favour to be carried. As mentioned earlier, all resolutions will be determined by poll, which is now open for voting. Christina Piccolo from Computershare will act as returning officer for the conduct of the poll. Eligible security holders, their attorneys, proxies and representatives can vote on all resolutions. Details of the proxies received on each item of business will be shown on your screen after discussion on that item of business. I am holding open proxies in my capacity as chairman, and it is my intention to vote all available proxies in favour of each resolution. The next item of business asks security holders to adopt the company's remuneration report. This is a non-binding advisory vote of security holders. Although this resolution is not binding, the board will give due regard to the outcome of the vote when considering future remuneration. The proposed resolution is on your screen. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions that relate to the proposed grant of performance rights to the Managing Director will be addressed when we come to agenda items 4 to 7.
Chairman, we have received no questions.
Thank you. Details of the proxies received are on the screen. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business. I'll now move on to item 3A. The next item of business relates to director re-elections. Norbert Sasse, Grant Jackson and Josephine Sukkar all standing for re-election. Details of the qualifications and experience of each director standing for re-election are set out in the notice of meeting. Each director has pre-recorded a short message for security holders. I will now play Norbert's message.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm disappointed that I cannot be in Australia today to meet with you in person. However, I'm pleased to have this opportunity to address security holders. As Group CEO of Johannesburg Stock Exchange Listed Growthpoint Properties, I've led the business for the past 20 years. During this time, Growthpoint has achieved substantial strategic growth from a listed property fund of 100 million rand in 2001 to a leading international property company with group assets of more than 160 billion rand today. It has also grown into a business that is recognized for sustainability and innovation, as well as its commitment to the environment, society, and good governance. Our investment in Growthpoint Properties Australia, or GARS as it is more commonly referred to, has contributed to this success and remains an important part of our strategy to increase our exposure to international assets. This that I bring to the GARS board comes from nearly 30 years of experience in corporate finance, funds management, and all aspects relating to listed property, as well as being a chartered accountant. It has been a privilege to serve on the GARS board and to play a part in the group's delivery of substantial returns to all security holders over the past 11 years, and I am pleased to be standing for re-election today.
The proposed resolution is on your screen. The directors, in absence of Norbert, unanimously recommend his re-election. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received the following question from John Whittington from the Australian Shareholders Association. Mr. Chairman, the board composition is currently 4 non-independent directors and 4 independent directors, with one of the independent directors due to leave soon. This means that the board will not have a majority of independent directors. What is the proposed proportion of independent directors on the board from December onwards? Would you also please outline to the meeting some of the procedures followed by the board to protect those in a minority shareholder position?
At the moment, the board consists of four independent directors and four directors who are deemed not to be independent. As previously advised, Maxine actually is retiring effective from the end of this month, and we are in the process of recruiting another director. I've previously advised the meeting that I expect or hope that that director could be appointed before Christmas. So the natural fact, we will for a short period of time have four non-independent directors and three independent directors, but that will be rectified within a couple of weeks. That's my best expectation. In terms of going forward, I believe that the skill set we have around our board table is appropriate for the company we lead, and I don't believe it's appropriate for us to appoint another person just for the sake of actually having a so-called majority of independent directors. In terms of protecting the interests of the minority security holders, we take that role seriously. All directors, and I stress all directors, including representatives from GRT, take it seriously. And I think basically if you look at our performance and look at the way we've treated our security holders, particularly in relation to capital raising, it's clear that we respect them and actually look after their interests to the best of our ability.
Chairman, we have received no further questions.
Thank you. Details of the proxies received are on your screen. I'll now move to item 3B, and this is obviously the re-election of Director Grant Jackson. I'll play Grant's message.
Hello, fellow security holders. It is with pleasure that I offer myself for re-election today. I've been a member of Growthpoint's board since its inception and am immensely proud of the group's transformation over the past 11 years. We've grown from a small REIT with a handful of industrial properties to one of the top 10 REITs in Australia today. Our industrial portfolio has increased significantly, and we have diversified our portfolio now and own one of the largest portfolios of metropolitan office assets. Throughout this period of significant growth, the group has maintained its disciplined approach with a focus on high quality, modern properties with strong tenant covenants. The resilient nature of our portfolio has been highlighted this year as we've navigated the challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. I have around 34 years experience in the property industry, including 30 years as a qualified valuer. I'm currently the chairman of M3 Property, one of Australia's leading valuation and advisory firms. I have experience across all property sectors, including office, industrial and retail markets. Due to my tenure on the board and significant experience, I have a deep understanding of the group's portfolio and how it is positioned in the market. If re-elected today, it is my intention to retire from the board at the end of this term. I will use this period to assist with a smooth transition to new directors.
Ladies and gentlemen, as Grant mentioned, if re-elected today, he intends for this to be his last term on the board. Grant has served the board for 11 years. The board is satisfied that Grant's length of service as a director does not and will not interfere with his capacity to bring an independent judgment to bear on issues before the board and to act in the best interests of the group and its security holders. Grant's contribution to the board is significant due to his experience in the property industry, specifically property valuation. Grant also has an impressive understanding of the group's portfolio as well as the broader market. We will use the next 3 years to find a suitable replacement for Grant. Due to Grant's significant expertise, this may take some time to facilitate in an orderly fashion, and we would like to have a period where Grant and his replacement are both on the board. The proposed resolution is on the screen. The directors, in the absence of Grant, unanimously recommend his re-election. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received the following question from John Whittington from the Australian Shareholders Association. Mr. Chairman, the ASA considers that Mr. Jackson will be non-independent in 1 year due to the length of time he has being on the board. Without wanting to take away from his significant contribution over this time, what is the company's plan to ensure that at least 50% of the board remain independent?
Mr. Whittingham, we recognise that there is a view in the community that after a certain length of service, some people may no longer be independent. I accept that view, but in actual fact, there are a number of examples, in my opinion, where people with long service to a board remain independent and play a vital part around a board table. A board only exists and works well if it's got well-qualified people who can debate issues with the management team and deal with them on a like-for-like basis. Grant plays that role brilliantly at this organisation, and I believe he remains independent, and that view is shared by my board colleagues. So while I understand where you're coming from, we don't agree that Grant is no longer independent, and we believe he is independent because we see him in action. And as I said, this will be Grant's last term of appointment, and we are all committed to find a replacement for him over that three-year period, which will ensure that we have appropriate level of expertise and evaluation industry on our board of directors.
Chairman, we have received no further questions.
Details of the proxies received are on your screen. I'll now move to item 3C. I'll now play a short message from Josephine.
Good afternoon. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to address security holders directly today. I joined the board over 3 years ago, and it's been a privilege to serve as a non-executive director. I was attracted to Growthpoint due to its impressive growth trajectory alongside its commitment to operating in a sustainable way. I bring to the board more than 30 years of property experience. I am the co-founder and principal of Buildcorp, which services a wide variety of clients with projects spanning many disciplines of construction. This provides me with detailed knowledge of the property sector across Australia. I also have significant experience as a non-executive director for both profit and not-for-profit boards. Most pertinent for the group is my current position as a non-executive director on the Property Council of Australia's National Board. Recently, I have reviewed my commitments and can confirm that I have sufficient time to serve as an independent director. This year has been challenging for all of us in different ways. I believe the group has done an excellent job of navigating the COVID-19 period, and I'm pleased with the way we have looked after our team, tenants and the broader community. I'm proud to be a director of Growthpoint, and I'm delighted to offer myself for re-election today.
Proposed resolution is on your screen. The directors, in absence of Josephine, unanimously recommend her re-election. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received the following question from John Whittington from the Australian Shareholders Association. Mr. Chairman, whilst Ms. Zucker appears to be a very capable person, she seems to have a lot of things on her plate with a full-time job at Buildcorp and six non-executive director roles. How can we be sure that she has adequate time to devote to acting as a truly independent director? In addition, we are also disappointed by her shareholding, which is only 37% of her total remuneration, whereas after 3 years on the board, we would expect a figure closer to 100%. Will she commit to increasing her shareholding in the very near future?
OK, I'll do the first part of the question. When I think of Josephine, I think of that saying, if you want to get a job done, give it to a busy person. Josephine has significant commitments, but over the 3 years she's been a non-executive director on the board of Growthpoint, she has always come to meetings extremely well prepared, and actually participates in a very active fashion around our board table. So she is a very good director and definitely seems to be able to juggle a very busy life, not to the detrimental interests of our security holders. I'm most impressed with what I see, and she is a busy person, and I think in actual fact she has integrated herself well into Growthpoint and serves us very well. In terms of the second part of the question is relating to her mandatory shareholdings. We introduced this requirement for directors approximately 2 years ago, and in actual fact, directors have a four-year period to get to that level of mandatory shareholding. And I haven't spoken to to Josephine, but I'm sure that she will actually get to that level of shareholding before the expiry of the four-year period, which is what the requirement of our program is. So I've got no further comment to make in respect to that issue.
Chairman, we have received no further questions.
The next two items, item four, details of the proxies received are on your screen. I'll now move to the next item of business. The next two items, item four and five, relate to the granting of long-term incentives to the Managing Director. Following a review of the group's remuneration structure by PwC in 2018, we transitioned from a backward-looking long-term incentive measurement to a forward-looking structure. The current backward-looking plans will be phased out completely with effect from the financial year 21, after which only forward-looking plans will operate. The new structure brings Growthpoint in line with the general market practice. On page 7 of the notice of meeting, we provide a diagram which highlights the interaction between historical, transitional and forward-looking plans that are or were in place. These plans have been designed to ensure that the managing director receives no more than his maximum entitlement under his contract, being 80% of his total fixed remuneration in any one year. Starting with item 4, the granting of 49,732 performance rights to the managing director following testing against the backwards-looking performance conditions in the FY20 transitional long-term incentive plan. The proposed resolution is on your screen. Security holders are now being asked to approve the grant of performance rights to the managing director. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received no questions.
Thank you. Details of the proxies received are on your screen. I'll now move to item 5. The next item of business relates to the grant of 243,161 performance rights to the managing director under the FY21 forward-looking long-term incentive plan as set out as part of his FY21 remuneration. The proposed resolution is on your screen. Security holders are now being asked to approve the grant of performance rights to the managing director. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received no questions.
Thank you. Details of proxies received are displayed on your screen. I'll now move to item 6. The next two remaining items of business, items 6 and 7, relate to the granting of short-term incentives to the managing director. With effect from financial year 19, the board introduced a deferral for part of the short-term incentive awarded to executive key management personnel, moving from 100% payment in cash to two-thirds payment in cash, with the remaining third of the short-term incentive outcome deferred and awarded as short-term incentive performance rights. In accordance with this new structure, item 6 is the granting of 43,414 performance rights to the managing director as the deferred component of his FY20 short-term incentive award. The proposed resolution is on the screen. Security holders are now asked to approve the grant of performance rights to the managing director. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received no questions.
Thank you. Details of the proxies received are displayed on the screen. I'll now move to item 7. The final item of business relates to the grant of 101,306 performance rights to the managing director as the maximum the third component of his FY21 short-term incentive opportunity. While we are seeking approval of the maximum deferred equity component of the Managing Director's short-term incentive opportunity, the process to approve the Managing Director's award for FY21 will be no different to any other year. His actual short-term incentive award will reflect achievement against pre-agreed KPI criteria and measures, which will be assessed by the Remuneration Committee and approved by the Board and disclosed in the FY21 remuneration report, with performance rights lapsing to the extent that performance conditions are not met. The proposed resolution is on the screen in front of you. Security holders are now being asked to approve the grant of performance rights to the Managing Director. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business. Are there any questions or comments?
Chairman, we have received no questions.
Thank you. Details of the proxies received are displayed on the screen. Before we close the meeting, I'd like to address any outstanding questions.
Chairman, we have received no further questions.
That brings us to the end of the formal business of the meetings. I ask that those of you who have not completed your voting to do so now. The poll and voting system will close shortly. I will now pause for 1 minute to allow you to complete your voting. The poll is now closed and the results of the votes for each... The poll is now closed and the results of the votes for each poll will be released to the ASX later today. Thank you all for your attendance and participation in the virtual meeting today. I declare the meeting closed at 5:26 p.m.